Open your Bibles, please, to the 121st Psalm. These verses we've been memorizing through these past weeks. We're ready for verse 7 for this week. Psalm 121, page 662 in your Schofield Bible. And we'll read the first 7 verses. We'll read these all together. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And let's read. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Turn now to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in your Schofield Bible, page 506. I'm sorry, page 507. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 3. And continuing through verse 7, the 7th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. We'll read these verses responsively. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and saith, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And let's read the text verse together. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good book. We have no idea what it cost to preserve it, but we thank you for those who fought for it, who died for it. We thank you for that which goes on today to keep it preserved and keep it the viable force of power that it has always been since you gave it to man. Bless concerning its preaching today, and bless our preacher, bless, we pray, and help us to hear carefully, attentively. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, Are Not Thou Our God? There are three types of people, three groups this morning in this room who need this sermon. There are those who need it today. There are those who need to store it away to use it later. And there are those who need to remember how God has been your God and to praise Him for it. I counsel more, I guess, than any preacher's ever lived. I average 147 people a week coming inside my door for either advice or counsel. For example, Thursday morning, I started at 9 o'clock counseling. 23 different sessions I had Thursday morning ending at 8:30, or Thursday ending at 8:30 Thursday night, with just a brief intermission for a staff meeting at noon and for a meal at home at night. And then on Friday morning, starting work time Friday morning, right after our staff prayer meeting, appointments all morning, and then yesterday, likewise, appointments till noon. I don't think you realize, I know you don't, the extent of the needs in a crowd this size and a crowd of people like this. I hope you'll listen carefully. Our Heavenly Father All I ever ask you to do is help me to be a blessing to our people. This is the only Sunday morning sermon that our folks are going to hear this week. Some are groping. Oh, yes, some are casually listening, but some are on the edge of their seats this morning. They need feeding. They need strength. They need encouragement. Help me as I speak to be exactly what our dear people need. For these 39 years, I've stood behind this same piece of wood with this same old King James Bible and proclaimed the message from it. Once again, I come to do it. May I do it in power and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The people of God were being attacked from all sides. Sit up straight and listen carefully. They were being attacked from one side, from the Moabites, from the south. From the east, they're attacked by the Ammonites. And from the north, they're attacked with the Syrian armies. On the west, there is the Mediterranean Sea. And so there's no place to go. They don't know what to do. One group of armies coming from the north, one group coming from the east, one group coming from the east, and one group coming from the south, and the sea on the western side. They didn't know what to do. There's no way out. There's no answer. There's no hope. And they said, we have no might, and we don't know what to do. God said, wow, this is my opportunity. When my people don't know what to do, this is my opportunity. So God gave instructions to them. And let me tell you the instructions God gave. And these instructions likewise should be given to everybody here that doesn't know what to do. And there are hundreds of you today. Illness, bereavement, battles, heartache, sorrows, burdens, all over this building. And you don't know what to do. May I tell you what God said? The first thing God said to Jehoshaphat, go to church. He said, get to the house of God. That's the first thing you do. Sometimes people say, oh, I've got so many problems, I just don't feel like going to church. Oh, that's when you ought to go to church, you see. And so God said to Jehoshaphat, first, you go to the house of God. Then he said, secondly, he said, set yourself, stand still, and don't run. God always says that. Don't run from your problems. Stand still, he says, and set yourself. Then he said, don't change a thing. Then he said, keep on serving. And then God said, you sit still, don't change a thing, and don't run. And God said, I will be with you. And by the way, I'd rather have his presence in the battle than not have his presence in a time of peace outside the battle. And he said, you need not fight. By the way, there are times we ought to fight. But God said, there's no need for you to fight. With the Syrians coming from the north, and the Ammonites coming from the east, and the Moabites coming from the south, and the Mediterranean Sea on the west. God said there's no need to fight. You cannot win the battle. You probably couldn't defeat one of those armies, much less all three of the armies. And then God said this, and I love it. He said, this battle's mine. This battle is mine. He said, when you don't know what to do, that's my opportunity. He said, this battle is mine. And then he said, you're about to see the salvation of the Lord. Listen to Jehoshaphat. His back's against the wall. An army from the north, army from the east, army from the south, the sea on the west. And Jehoshaphat says, art thou not God in heaven? He's pleading his case. He says, rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? He said, In thine hand is there not power and might? And then he said, none is able to withstand thee. And then he said, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land? He said, you're the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. He said, when our nation came to this land in the first place, you drove out all the enemies in those days. He said, aren't you the same God? And then he asked the question, art not thou our God?
Is not the God of the Red Sea our God? Is not the God of the Jordan, waters of the Jordan being parted? Is not, art not thou our God? Listen to that, burden one. We serve the same God that parted the waters of the Red Sea. Listen to that embattled one. Listen to that dejected one. Listen to that bereaved one. Listen to that attacked one. Listen to that abandoned one. Listen to that worried one. Listen to that depressed one. Listen to that lonely one. Listen to that defeated one. Listen to that confused one. Listen to that, the one that doesn't know what to do. Our God is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, Jehoshaphat said, you're the God, you're the mighty God. You're the one that parted the waters of the Red Sea and the Jordan River and gave manna from heaven every morning and gave water from the rock in Horeb. And the pillar of cloud by day was yours. The pillar of night by pillar of fire by night was yours. And he said, art not thou our God? So, what's he saying? God says, keep on soul winning, this battle's mine. God says, keep on your bus route, this battle's mine. God said, this is not one you can win. And by the way, all over this house this morning, there are people that have battles that you cannot physically win yourself. You do not know the way out. On one side is a rock, on the other side is a hard place, and you don't know the way out. And God said, good, this is my opportunity. He said, you just keep on. He said, keep on teaching your Sunday school class. Keep on rearing your children. Keep on preaching in the jail or the mission. Keep on praying. Keep on living in the book. Keep on coming to church. Keep on serving God. The big general is about to fight for you. The unconquered and unconquerable one is stepping up. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming to help you. The unseen captain is about to be seen. The Lord of Lords is on his way. The I Am is coming to your rescue. The mighty God is flexing his muscles. He says, you keep on fighting for me, and I will fight for you. An old story. I've told it 15 times, I guess. Those who've heard it, you'll hear it again. Those who haven't heard it, everybody ought to hear this story. I was in a distant state. A pastor, I was preaching for a pastor. And he came, he said, Brother Howes, could I talk with you? He took me to his study. He put his head on his desk and began to cry uncontrollably. And I said, what's the trouble? He said, my daughter, you remember the story. My daughter is pregnant. She's not married. He said, don't know what to do. He said, I've tried the best I could to rear her right, and she's pregnant, she's not married. And I've been pastoring this church for years. He said, what can I do? How can I go to the pulpit Sunday? What can I do? I said, I'll tell you what you do. Sunday morning, the first thing you do is get up. And then you dress. And then you eat breakfast. And then you go get in the car. And then you drive to church. And then you go to Sunday school. And then you walk on the platform. And then when time comes to preach, you get up and preach. That's what you do. Years later, several years, the same pastor asked me to talk with me. I said, what's the deal? He said, I got a second daughter pregnant. Not married. He said, I can't take it. Put his hand on his desk and said, I can't take it. And he said, my second daughter's pregnant. And I said, oh, my brother, your first daughter was pregnant outside wedlock. Now your second daughter's pregnant. I said, what in the world are you going to do? He smiled through his tears. He said, the first thing I'm going to do on Sunday morning, I'm going to get up. He said, second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to dress. He said, third thing I'm going to do is try to eat breakfast. He said, the fourth thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go to church. He said, the next thing I'm going to go to Sunday school. And the next thing, I'm walk out on the platform. And the next thing, I'm going to preach. Now you listen. Both of those daughters got married later, and both of them have happy homes and lovely Christian lives. Now, they did wrong, but bless God, the fellow did what God said. He said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. The army from the north is coming, the south is coming, and the east is coming, and the sea's on the west. What can I do? And God said, tell you exactly what to do. He said, keep on soul winning, keep your bus route, keep rearing your children, keep teaching your Sunday school class, don't stop, don't quit, keep on going, don't run. And he said, I, the God of glory, will come and fight your battle for you. We need to be reminded that our God is the same one. Art not thou our God? Thou the God who parted the waters of the Red Sea for Moses when no hope could be seen? Art not thou our God? The God who caused the armies of Egypt to be drowned in the Red Sea and delivered his people who walked over on dry ground? Art not thou our God? Let me remind you something, ladies and gentlemen. The same God that dried up the waters of the Red Sea is the God that beats in your breast today. And the same God that when the Israelites did not know what to do, the same God that crumbled the impregnable walls of Jericho, that's the God I serve this morning. And the same God when Daniel didn't know what to do, God gave him a pillow made out of the lion's mane, and he was not injured or harmed by the lion. That's our God. We need to remind everyone that the great creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am, that's our God today. The God who said the waters Red Sea, stand up, and the Israelites walked over on dry ground. That God is my God today, and he stands ready to come to you today and fight your battle. Keep on going for God. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Stay in the battle. Teach your Sunday school class. Win folks to Christ. Witness on the job. Build your bus route. And let God fight your battle for you. I remind you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fire furnace and didn't know what to do, God cooled the flames of the fire furnace, and that's the God that wants to come to your rescue today. When Joshua faced the unbelievable battle of conquering the land with the enemies, all kinds of enemies against him, that unseen captain that came to Joshua and stood beside him and promised him victory, that's the God that you have today to fight your battle. Let me say again, a lot of battles we can handle ourselves, but when the time comes, you don't know what to do. My God said, the battle is the Lord's. They remind you that the God, when the apostles were in a boat, the storm was raging. Our God who spoke and stilled the storm and calmed the waves is the God I serve today. I want to remind you that the God who used 300 men to deliver Israel against the Midianites in the days of Gideon, that's the God I serve this morning. I want to remind you, when the Israelites were hungry, the God that sent little one-a-day vitamin tablets to cover the ground like the hoary frost of the morning, like the dew of the dawn, that's my God today. I need to remind you again and again that the same God of yesterday is the God today, and the same God of tomorrow who holds in his hand, he stands ready to fight your battle today when you don't know what to do. That same God, and Paul and Silas were in prison, and the earthquake came, and God delivered his men, as God always does. That's the God I serve today. And John was on Patmos, and God sent him an angel to show him all the prophecies of the future. God sent him a video from Blockbuster, and it was a blockbuster, bless God. Now, I'd like to bust Blockbuster, but God sent him a video, and God said, I want to show you something. And God showed him the rapture of the saints. And God showed him the marriage of the Lamb. And God showed him the judgment seat of Christ. And God showed him the crowns being given to us hurled at Jesus' feet. And God showed him the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And God showed him the millennial kingdom when Jesus shall reign, where the sun does its successive journeys run. And God showed him the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared the bride for adorned for husband. When John the Beloved didn't know what to do, he kept on serving God, and God came and said, the battle is mine. I want to remind you, when the enslaved Jews didn't know what to do, the God that caused the death angel to pass over and delivered the Jews in the hands of Pharaoh, that's the same God. I say this morning, art not thou our God? Is not that God my God? I want to remind you that God who gave to lonely and homesick Jacob a ladder from heaven, seeing angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And John chapter 1 says those angels, that ladder was Jesus Christ, represents Jesus Christ. And the same God, when the Israelites were dying,
of serpent venom sent the brazen serpent and gave deliverance. And the same God that preserved Jonah in the belly of a whale, and the same God when Mary and Martha came to Jesus and said, "Our brother's dead. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." Jesus went and wept, and then he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he said, "Come forth. I'm saying that God is my God today." And God stands ready to say, if you don't know what to do, he said, "Let the unseen captain, let God do his work when you don't know what to do." It reminds you that when Zacharias found that that little widow was lonely and starving, and God kept the oil in the cruse, that's the God we serve today. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel alone, by the way, I was thinking this week, Elijah got discouraged on Mount Carmel. And remember when Jezebel said, "I'll get you"? He ran from Jezebel, got on a juniper tree, and got discouraged and blew and wanted to give up. And God said, "Don't get discouraged. I got 7,000 hadn't bowed the knee to Baal." I got thinking this last week, where were they? Where are those 7,000? Said they hadn't bowed the knee to Baal, but they sure didn't come to rescue of Elijah either. Where are those 7,000? And God sent Elijah, when he was discouraged, God sent fire from heaven and devoured it. I'm trying to tell you, that's the God today that sits right beside you and whose spirit lives in your body. The same God. And Hezekiah didn't know what to do. God extended his life 15 years. And the sons of the prophets didn't know what to do. God caused an axe head to swim. The Israelites did not know what to do. God gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When they had nothing to drink, God gave them water from the rock in Horeb, and 5,000 hungry people didn't know what to do. Jesus fed them with a little lad's lunch basket. When Nehemiah didn't know what to do, he kept on building the wall. When the First Baptist Church of Hammond didn't know what to do. And brother, in these 39 years, there have been times when I faced against the wall and the hordes of hell have tried to destroy this church. I've got news for you, brother. There's a God in heaven who's preserved your First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. When attacks come, what have we done? We kept on soul winning. We kept on running the buses. We kept on getting folks saved. We kept on building a church. It's not our battle. Hallelujah. It's His battle. Is He not your God? Little widow, trying to make ends meet, is He not your God? Little lady whose husband's left you with a few dollars and a few kids, and you don't know what to do, is He not your God? Dear ones in wheelchairs this morning, maybe you'll never walk again, is He not your God? College students wondering how you're going to make ends meet. Is He not your God? I want to remind you this morning, that same God that spoke and stars danced across the sky, that same God who made something out of nothing and created the world and all that's therein, that same God that spoke and took a bit of dust and made man and from his rib made a woman and gave them life, that same God, the omnipotent King of kings and Lord of lords, He is your God today. Jehoshaphat said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There are the Syrians from the north. There come the Ammonites from the east. And there come the Moabites from the south. I can't flee west because the Mediterranean Sea is just a few miles away. What can I do?" God said, "Get up, dress, eat your breakfast. Get on your bus route. The battle is mine." God says, "Get up, dress, eat your breakfast, go to church, build your Sunday school class. The battle is mine." God says, "Get up, dress, eat your breakfast, go out and win some souls for my sake." He said, "The battle is mine." But I want you to notice this. You don't fight for Him, He doesn't fight for you. God said, if you'll fight the battle I can't fight, I'll fight the battle you can't fight. If you fight my battle, I'll fight yours. If my battle is yours, then your battle is mine," God said. That's the testimony of my little life. I didn't know what to do. Kept on going.
By the way, I never ran. Never ran. I didn't change anything. I let God fight my battles. And I saw the salvation of the Lord. Let me praise Him for a while and close. In 1956, I've been preaching for several years. Everything I touched turned to gold. I'd known no battles. I'd known no opposition. All of my churches had been growing churches. In 1956, I didn't know what to do. This little verse right here has been one of my verses for life. I got on my knees one night about 2 o'clock in the morning and opened my Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and I said, "Art not thou my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Red Sea, the God of 5,000 being fed with a little lunch basket? Art not thou my God?" 39 years ago this next month, I came to First Baptist Church of Hammond in 1960. I didn't know what to do. I was a Texan. I started to say my accent was strange, but it wasn't. Your accent was strange. All of you have speech impediments as far as I'm concerned. I know what to do. And I faced the battle of my life. I got on my knees in the wee hours of the morning to Bill Rice Ranch after praying all night long. I got on my knees and I said, "Dear God, art not thou my God, the God of the Red Sea, the God of the fallen wall of Jericho, art not thou my God?" 1974. I didn't know what to do. By the way, if you don't know what to do, do what you've always done. Just keep on going. Keep on serving. I got on my knees again. And I said, "Dear God, I don't know what to do. Art not thou my God?" In 1989, and I owe you folks a debt. If I'm here 50 years, hope I am. Start my 40th year in a few days. If I'm here 50 years, I plan to be. I owe you my life, my ministry. I fell on my face in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, one night about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Dear God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Art not thou my God, the God who defeated the armies for Joshua, the God who defeated the armies with 300 of Gideon's soldiers, the God who parted the waters of the Red Sea and caused the Israelites to over on dry ground, the God that raised the dead and healed the sick and cast out devils and caused the lame to leap like a hart and the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear and the blind to see and the sick to get well? Art not thou my God?" Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as I've done so all these years. Like I say, I'm not some young man testing this out. I'm an old man who sort of tested it out. I'm not some young fellow who says, "Boy, this is true because the Bible says it, so that's enough." But I'm an old man saying this is true because the Bible says it and because I've tested it again and again and again and again and again. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, "Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do." Then don't run. Keep on soul winning. Keep on your bus route. Keep in your Bible club. Keep on teaching Sunday school class. Keep on winning folks to Christ. Keep on serving God. You don't know what to do. And the battle, God says, the battle is mine. The battle is the Lord. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never trusted Christ, you do the same thing I preach. You quit trying to save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. Quit trying to join a church to get to heaven. Salvation is of the Lord. Quit trying to be baptized to get to heaven or take the sacrament to get to heaven. Salvation is of the Lord. Quit trying to confess your sins to a so-called priest and come and receive Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. You don't have to do a thing. He's already done it. All you've got to do is trust Him as your Savior. So this morning, into two groups I speak. To God's people. If you have not been there, you will be there. There's some of the men on the platform who've been there. This man's been there.
cancer of the eye. Didn't know what to do. What did he do? Kept on going. One of his eyes is real and the other is glass. This morning, it's hard to tell the difference. They both look glass to me. But he kept on going. Remember that day, kids, when he came back to the high school? And all the kids put patches over one eye so they could identify with their principal. Been through it. Been through it. Roy Moffitt over here has been through it. I mean, I could go on and on. Johnny Colston's been through it. What did they do? Kept on going. Didn't run. Just kept on going. I recall when I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was a skinny guy. And boy, those were the days. My nickname was Slim in the paratroopers. Is that your nickname, Keith? My nickname was Slim in the paratroopers. We had to run 10 miles a day. And the truth is, I had never run over a mile. And 10 miles a day, and I can recall about four, and by the way, up and down hills with combat boots on. And I can recall I'd get about 3 or 4 miles out in that run. And I'd be running, and I'd say, I don't think I can make it, but I can go one more step. I can't run 10 miles, but I can go one more step. I can't run 10 miles, but I can go one more step. And that's what God says to you to do. Just keep on going. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. Let me tell you, in closing again, ladies and gentlemen, the God of this book, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the promised land, the God of the parted Red Sea, the God of the unseen captain, the God of the Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, the God of raising Lazarus from the dead, the God of opening blind Bartimaeus' eyes, that God is our God. Keep on going. The battle is His. So this morning, if you're here, quit trying to battle your way to heaven and work your way to heaven. Come down these aisles and say, I'm tired of fighting. The battle is the Lord's. Salvation is of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The choir's going to sing. Those of you that never have trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to leave your seat and walk to the aisle that's nearest you. Come down to be a man at the end of every aisle. Tell that man that you want to go to heaven when you die. He'll have one show you exactly the way you can go to heaven. If you're here this morning, you've trusted Christ. The next step for you is to walk the aisle. Let us tell the people you've trusted Christ. The next step is to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're here this morning and you want to join an old-fashioned, old-time religion, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-only, separated Baptist church, I don't want you to come into false pretenses. I want you to know what you're getting into. If that's what you want, we invite you to come on and join this holy band and on to the Lord to go to dwell in that celestial land where joy is immortal flow. We invite you to come. I'll ask that nobody leave. Nobody will leave, please. No one should be so rude as to walk out while people are trusting Christ as Savior. This morning you walk down this aisle and say, yes, I want to become a Christian. I've thought about it a long time. I've often thought I ought to do it. By the way, sometime between birth and death, you've got to do it. You'll go to hell when you die. Walk down this aisle this morning and say, this is the day. I am going to become a child of God today. If you've done so this week at that beside one of our soul winners, you walk the aisle, let me tell the people about it. You want to join an old-fashioned, old-time religion Baptist church, we invite you to come. I hope you will. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. The choir will sing, shall we stand please? Would you come on the first stanza?